Blog Talk Radio.
He's a righty. He's a busy answer. Tell me when I pray. He's my only friend. Satisfy my desire. Satisfy my desire. Tell me when I pray. Oh, yeah, Jesus is the answer. I found the Savior. I found the Redeemer. I found the Healer. I found the Provider. I found the answer. When there is a question, there is an answer. Yes, there must be an answer. Let it be. You know, when there is a question, there is an answer. What is the question? Who is our Savior? Who is our Redeemer? Who heals us? Who delivers us? Who provides for us? Who cares for us? Who protects us? Who redeems us from sin and sickness and disease? And granted us deliverance from the cross. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And by his stripes we are healed. You know, who is the answer? Jesus is the answer. You need to find Jesus today in your life. Yes, you need to hold on to Jesus. You need to look on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look on to Jesus. Look on to Jesus. Look on to Jesus. Look on to Jesus. The author and the finisher. Of our faith. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. The author and the finisher. Of our faith. Look unto Him right. He's able to save you. The author and the finisher of our faith. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. The author and the finisher. Look unto Him right now. He's able to save you. The author and the finisher of our faith. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Yes, look unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter also wanted to walk on the water. And so Jesus permitted him to walk on the water. As Peter was looking unto Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. As Peter was looking unto Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. And then the Bible says that Peter took his eye off Jesus. And Peter began to look at the troubled waters and the troubled sea. He was looking at the ocean. Peter was looking at the storms and the winds. And as he was looking at problems, he was looking at difficulties, he was looking at other things. The Bible says Peter began to sink. Hey, when you take your eyes off Jesus, you begin to sink. Ah, you need to look unto Jesus. The author and finisher of your faith, your redeemer, your savior, your healer. You need to look unto Jesus. He's the supplier of all your needs. He supplies all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He makes a way where there is no way. He provides for his people. Oh, yes. That's who he is. Happy is the man who found Jesus. Happy holiday. Happy is the man who found Jesus. Happy holiday. Found the fire burning when I found Jesus. On the air. Fire burning when I found Jesus. Happy holiday. Happy is the man who found Jesus. Happy are my days. Happy is the woman who found Jesus. Happy all our days. Found the fire burning when I found Jesus. Burning all my days. Found the fire burning when I found Jesus. Funny all my days. Happy is the man who found Jesus. Happy all your days. Happy is the woman who found Jesus. Happy all our days. Found the fire burning when I found Jesus. Funny all his days. Found the fire burning when I found Jesus. Burning all I need. Happy is the man who found Jesus. Happy all your days. Happy is the woman who found Jesus. Happy all I need. Found the fire burning when we found Jesus. Burning all our days. The fire burning when we found Jesus. Burning all our days. Happy is the man who found Jesus. Burning all our days. Happy is the woman who found Jesus. Happy all our days. Happy is the man who found Jesus. When you found Jesus, happy are you. Oh, yes, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Found Jesus, you found the Prince of Peace. When you found Jesus, you found the Lord of Love. When you found Jesus, you found hope. You found help. Oh, yes, you found a refuge. You found a great provider. You found the supplier of your needs. You found the one that heals you in every area of your life. You found the one that delivers you from every problem in your life. So happy is the man who found Jesus. Yes. That a song may be, that is life to them. Happy that people, that a daughter may be, I do the happy is the people that a song may be. I do the happy is the people. Happy is the people who God is the Lord. Happy is the people. Happy is the people that are thankful as I do them. Happy is the people that are thankful as I do them. Happy is the people. Happy is the people who God is the Lord. by the Lord. Happy is the people that are confident of the light of the Lord. Happy is the people that are confident of the light of the Lord. Happy is the people. Happy is the people. Who God is the Lord. Happy is the people. Whose God is the Lord. Some people, the Almighty God is not their God. They have another God. And those God don't answer them. Those God don't meet their needs. Those God don't respond to them. But happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Happy is the people that are found maybe as the light goes on. Happy the people that are done maybe as the light goes on. Happy the people. Happy the people whose God is the Lord. So do you have the Lord as your God? Happy is the people. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. One time I went to Full Gospel Business Friends Fellowship, and the pamphlet that will be divided say the happiest people on earth at the Full Gospel Business Friends Fellowship. See, they distributed a book, they say the happiest people on earth. Who are the happiest people on earth? The happiest people on earth are the believers, those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, those who have repented, confessed their sins, and turned away from their evil ways, and they are ready to serve God and worship God in spirit and in truth, those are the happiest people on earth. So if you are without Jesus Christ, you have a problem. Oh, yes, you have a problem. And tonight, you can settle it. How do you settle it? You open up yourself. Open up your life and receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, so that you can have eternal life. What shall he profit you? You shall gain the whole world and suffer the loss of your soul. Today, right now, in the day of salvation. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give God glory. We give him praise, honor, and adoration. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God, the highest. From now to the 31st of March, it's about the Easter. It's about, we're talking about what Jesus did on the Calvary tree. Where he died, as Jesus suffered and died for salvation. It's very important that we recognize those things that Jesus accomplished for us on Golgotha Hill over 2,000 years ago. It's very important. Because if you don't know what Jesus did for you, you will not be able to recognize, accept, and appropriate the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He said, it is finished. That was his last thing. It is finished. The work of salvation is finished. The work of deliverance, the work of healing is finished. The work is finished. See? It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. The victory is won. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. The victory is won. So tonight, we're going to discover more things that Jesus accomplished for us. Yeah, we're going to discover them from the Word of God. And then we're going to pray them into our lives. See, our text is taken from Psalm 103. Psalm 103, from verse 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He has done great things. 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 Bless his holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He has done great things. Everyone is welcome. God bless you all for coming. Thank you so much. God bless you all for coming. Yes, our text is Psalm 103 from verses 1 to 5. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Yes, Lord, open thou our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach us, O God, and bless us with your word right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. He crowneth thee with his loving kindness and tenderness. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. What a mighty God we serve. Finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It was mission accomplished. And one of the last statements of Jesus on the cross was, it is finished. It is completed. The work of redemption, the work of deliverance, the work of healing, the work of salvation is completed on the cross of Calvary. We are not going to work for it anymore. Jesus has given us the salvation that we needed. See, I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Oh, yes. We will not forget all his benefits, the benefits of the cross, the benefits of the cross. What did he do on the cross? So much. So much. Depart from now till on the 31st of March. I will encourage church leaders, pastors, and evangelists, missionaries to preach on the finished work of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do on the cross? Because so many people are still very, very ignorant of what Jesus accomplished for them on Golgotha Hill. They are very, very ignorant. My people perish for lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. A lot of people don't know. And so the devil is cheating them. Devil is, you know, playing on their intelligence. The devil is taking advantage. See, Psalm 103, verse 3, that he forgiveth all thy iniquities and he healeth all thy diseases. He forgiveth. He forgives. Another translation says, he forgives. That is, he continues to forgive. He's a merciful God. So he forgives all our sins, all our mistakes, all our errors. In fact, human beings will not forgive you. I know what I'm talking about. They say David committed adultery. who was angry was not God, because he has reconciled with God. But human beings are offended. Are you God? See, if human being was God, would have been in trouble. But a human being is not God. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a human being. God is God. And human beings are human beings. He forgives all your iniquities. I was looking at the news. They were writing so many things about Bishop T.D. Jakes. He did this, he did that, he did this, he did that, he did this. Okay. Whether he did it, whether he did not do it, it doesn't matter. The reason is God has forgiven him, and if he ever did it, the blood of Jesus cleanses him from all unrighteousness. Maybe it's a weakness which he has to overcome. We don't need to be judgmental. Who are you to judge people? You pray for the ministers of God. You pray for the servants of God. You pray for the people of God. You don't have to go around condemning people of God, condemning preachers, condemning. Are you righteous? Your own sin is in your life. Your own errors, your own failures, your own weaknesses are there. You are not thinking about it. You are putting your eyes on somebody. Is that not what the Pharisees have said? See, they were pointing accusing fingers. Why their own evil, their own wickedness is there. And then they are pointing accusing fingers. That's not how it should be. You are not to judge people. You are to pray in this weakness, some failure, some disappointment, some error, some mistake somewhere. A lot of things we are done in ignorance. A lot of things, you know, it's human to err. You see, I like this Bible because the Bible makes it very clear. And if you look at the way God deals with people, it's not that, you know, God is so wicked that he does not forgive. He forgives all our iniquities and he heals all our diseases. God knows that human beings are weak. Human beings are open to errors and mistakes and failures. Oh, yes. In sin did my mother conceive me. That's the David. In sin. So the issue is between God and you. It's not a human being and you. It is God and you. So when you reconcile with God, he that covers his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever that confess and forsake shall have mercy. That's Proverbs 28 verse 13. When you confess your sins, you repent and turn away from it, then you find mercy. I remember somewhere in the 70s or early 80s or so, there was all these accusations and all these things. Well, they could be true. But I was looking at those men of God. They confessed their sins. They repented. They turned away. And God had mercy. Are they perfect? I don't look at any human being as if I do that, I'm going to be disappointed because sooner or later, I'm going to see error. I'm going to see weakness. I'm going to see failure. I'm going to see disappointment. So I am not looking at any human being to be perfect at all. I don't even expect that you have perfection. The reason is I will soon see your weakness. I will soon see your failure. I will soon discover where you err and where you fail and where you disappear, where you made mistakes, where you made errors and blunders. I will soon see it. So why am I going to expect that you are an angel. You are not an angel. You are not an angel. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I don't expect you to be an angel. You are not an angel. You are a human being. You are prone to error and mistakes and failure. If you doubt it, let me look at your life. Let me look at your life. It will not be up to 3-4 hours. I'm going to see your failure. I'm going to see your disappointment. I'm going to see your mistakes, your error. I will soon discover your sin, all the sins you are committing inside your heart, the ones of actions, in words and in thoughts. I will soon see all of them. So, whom am I to look at? Is that what I should be looking at? Then the scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If I look at a man, I'm going to be disappointed. So I'm not going to look at any man. Rather, I'm looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of my faith. Because human beings are just human beings. They are nothing but human beings. Why will I leave Jesus Christ and start looking at a human being? See, because of what Peter did. Peter was looking unto Jesus. While he looked unto Jesus, he walked on the sea. When he turned his eyes away from Jesus Christ and he began to look other things, then disappointment and failure and problems came. He started sinking. That's where we are failing. We are taking our eyes from Jesus Christ, and we are looking at human beings with all their failures and frustrations and disappointment. You begin to see weaknesses. You begin to see loopholes. You begin to see errors and mistakes of their lives. If you look at those things, you will not serve God. I know what I'm talking about. If you look at how human beings, who they are, when you will discover who human beings are, you will not serve God. So better take your eyes off it. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of us. Look at Psalm 103. He forgiveth all our iniquities. He healeth all our diseases. He healeth all our diseases. He didn't leave one. He took all our infirmities from the cross. He took all our failures, all our frustration, all on the cross. He took all. He forgave all. He healed all our needs. If God is to name sin, who will stand before? If God has to pinpoint sin. Do you know how many sins are in the Bible? There are thousands and thousands of sins that God condemned in the Bible, thousands of them, not just Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments is just the beginning. There are more laws and rules and regulations that you can't even obey all of them. Even you yourself know, and even God knows that human being is a total failure, and that is why Jesus Christ came. Apostle Paul said, who will redeem me? Who will save me? I try to be holy, I cannot. Apostle Paul, he was very sincere. Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7. Apostle Paul said, who will deliver me? Who will save me? I try to do good, I'm not able. I try to be righteous. I'm trying. Then Apostle Paul confessed. He said, I did not make any breakthrough. Then he now said, but thank God for Jesus Christ who came to redeem us from sin and evil and deliver us and set us free from all these things. Thank God for Jesus who came. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Even the great Apostle Paul, he admitted his failure and his mistakes and errors. He confessed with his mouth. He said, I couldn't help myself, but thank God for Jesus Christ who came to our rescue. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so the blood was an atonement. The blood reconciled us back to God. In fact, Jesus Christ, the main ministry of Jesus Christ was that of reconciliation. He came to link us back again. Because in Adam and Eve, we failed. But in Jesus, we have reconciliation. You know, he bridged the gap, the mediator. He's our solicitor and advocate. File us back to God. That was what Jesus did. And through the blood, we are now in terms with God. So when God looks at us, he's not looking at us, you know, as human beings who are failures and disappointments. He sees Jesus in us. Then the scripture says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's the word of God. It says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is your hope of glory. As many as received Jesus Christ, to them God gave power to become the sons of God. John chapter 1 verse 12. John chapter 1 verse 12. As many as received Jesus Christ, to them God gave power to become the sons and daughters of God. And then as Christ in you is the hope of glory. So when God looks from heaven and he looks at you, he's not looking at you, he's looking at Jesus. He's looking at the blood that was shed for the remission of your sin. He's looking at you becoming, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because if God is to look at you, oh, he will throw you through the window. He does not even need you. You are not going anywhere. But Christ in you is the hope of glory. That is why we are spending time, every time, to share the word of God, to preach Christ and him crucified, you know, to reveal who Jesus Christ is and what he did. In verse 4, he said, he redeemed thy life from destruction. I said with you the other day, I said, the best way to describe what Jesus did on the cross is to call it redemption. Of course, salvation was the main thing. But we want to describe the totality of what Jesus accomplished for you and I on Golgotha Hills over 2,000 years ago. The best word to use for it is redemption. Look at this, Psalm 103, verse 4. He redeemed thy life from destruction. You were supposed to go to hellfire, but Jesus brought you back with his blood. He brought you back. As a solicitor and advocate, he pleaded that blood, and that blood availed. That blood spoke salvation into your life. Say the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel in the Old Testament was crying for judgment. But the blood of Jesus Christ was pleading for salvation of your soul. The solicitor and advocate has come with the blood. God, I have come to redeem mankind. I have come to set the captives free. I have come to deliver. I have come to cleanse them. I have come to buy them from Satan. I am now the mediator to reconcile humanity back to the Almighty God who created. He redeemed thy life from destruction. Look at this, Psalm 103, verse 4. Then he crowned thee with his loving kindness and tender mercy. I shared with you, was it in the morning or yesterday? I said, on the cross, we were promoted. Oh, we were promoted on the cross. Because on that cross, Christ made us to be kings and priests of the Most High God. Peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6, it says Christ has made us kings and priests. And then he repeated it in Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. He said Christ has made us kings and priests by the redemptive work of Calvary tree. He promoted us, he uplifted us, he upgraded us, he updated us. And I sang that song. I am somebody, you are somebody. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm a child of the Most High King. I am somebody, you are somebody. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm a child of the Most High King. Because of the blood, we are now valued. We are not just ordinary people. You are now a child, a daughter, a son of the Most High King. So there is value now. I shared with you yesterday, I said, don't let anybody define who you are. Because you're going to miss it. You want to define who I am? Don't define who I am because you're going to miss it. You're going to make mistakes. If you have to define who I am, they say, David, what are you doing in the battlefield? You are too small. Go back home, go back home, go back home. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, they were telling David to go back home. You are too small to be in the battlefield. So go back home. Go back home. They told David like that. They were defining David. They defined him. David, you are too small to be in the battlefield. Go back home. Go back home. Go. That's what they were telling David. 1 Samuel 17, David said, Hold on. I need to define who I am. You see, you people are trying to define me. You are calling me small boy. And you are telling me to go home. Listen to me. I have killed bears. I have killed lions with my bare feet. Who is this uncircumcised Goliath to stand before the Almighty God? I'm going to do the same thing to him. David has to redefine himself. He had to redefine himself. And what he said was what happened. See, human beings, you know, they will always put you in a box. They classify you wrongly, describe you wrongly. You know, they give a wrong image of who you are, a wrong picture of who you are. That's what they do. But David said, no, let's stop this man. All of you are trying to call me that little boy. Go back home. That little boy, go back home. Hold on. I have a big God. I'm a small baby, but I have a big God who is bigger than this Goliath. and he crushed the Goliath to pieces. And that was exactly what happened. Don't let anybody define who you are. They are going to define you wrongly, give you bad name, call you stupid name and foolish name. They don't have idea who you are. And so David went into the war and defeated the enemy and brought victory back home. Will you still call him a small boy? He's not a small boy. He has a God. He has a God on the inside. Greater is he that is in me than the devil that is in the world. Greater is Jesus Christ that is in us than the demons, than the Goliath, than the evil, than the problems, than the things that are there. Greater is Jesus Christ that is in us than all those things that are out there. I told you, Reverend Dr. Kenneth Copeland, yes, he said, you are the prophet of your own life. I like that. I like that. You are the prophet of your own life. What are you going to prophesy to me? I have the Word of God. I have Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Bible. God is speaking to me. Jesus is speaking to the Holy Spirit. Is speaking to me. Do I need you to tell me anything again? What are you telling me? Some people, they are looking for prophecy. They are looking for people to prophesy to them. And as I look at the internet every day, I see all kinds of people calling themselves prophets. They are, you know, talking, trying to entice people and talking. You know, they call themselves prophets. Yes, nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to prophesy to me. I don't need it. The Word of God is my prophet. Jesus is my prophet. The Holy Spirit is my prophet. The Word of God is there for me. And so, Dr. Kenneth Copeland, he said, you are the prophet of your own life. I like those statements. Oh, yes. David has to define himself. David has to define who he is. You want to define me? You are going to define me wrongly. Because all you see, you were calling me small boy. I should go back home. I shouldn't be in the battle. Because I am small David. And you people are big, tall, huge men. Hey, little David, go back home. Why would David go back home? He has a God on the inside of him that is speaking for him. And that God never fails, never disappoints. That is what he was talking about. So please, don't let anybody define you. Don't let anybody describe you. They don't have your description. They don't have an idea of who you are. They don't have it. I am what God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. And I can do what the Word of God says I can do. I am what God says I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. And I can do what the Word of God says I can do. So where does your definition come from? Your definition has no place. It has no place. It has no place. So the problem today is that people have not known who they are in Christ. I told you the other day, I said, the most powerful being on earth is not the lion. The most powerful being on earth is not the leopard, it's not the tiger. The most powerful creature on earth is not the man with the machine gun. The most powerful creature on earth is not the man with jet bombers and jet fighters. The most powerful being on earth is not the man with submarines and nuclear weapons. It's not. the most powerful being on earth. He's a child of God who knows his right and authority of the believer. Joshua says, Saul, stand still, I say the Lord. He said, Moon, stand still. For then Elijah said, all of you are blind. And that was it. Elijah said, you are all fire, consume all of you. And that was it. So with you and your equipment, they are all dead. You are blind now. You can't shoot anybody. Ah, Rabaspaya. Iblondo, Eblende. Yes, Lord, we thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Yes, he satisfied our mouth with good things. He crowned us with his loving kindness and his tender mercy, so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. He renewed our youth like the eagle. All these Jesus need to come. We are going to pray right now because this series is going to continue the March 31st. It's going to be a series on the finished work of Jesus Christ, what he accomplished for us on Golgotha. This series is going to continue to the 31st of March. We need to know who we are in Christ Jesus and what Jesus accomplished for us on Golgotha over 2,000 years ago. Yes, we're going to pray right now, and the prayer is, Lord, help me to recognize your finished work on Calvary Street. Help me to know the truth, and the truth shall set me free. Help me to appropriate what you did for me on Calvary Street. Help me to appropriate it into my life. The man of God was hospitalized, and they were giving him treatment. They were telling him there's no hope, you're going to die, and all this and all that. The man of God said, give me my dad. While he was in the hospital bed, they gave him his Bible. And he opened Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. He said, Christ has borne all our sicknesses and diseases. He took away all our infirmities. And by his stripes, we are healed. Then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he now says, by his stripes, we were healed. And so the man of God said, I have been healed on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And so I declare myself healed. I'm well. I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm not sitting here in the hospital anymore. I'm going home. So he put on his clothes and removed the hospital uniform, put them down there, packed all his things, described himself, and he went home. Since then, he has never been to hospital for anything. According to your faith, be it unto you. When we're talking about what Jesus did on the cross, many people, they still don't believe, they still don't trust, and they are missing out. My prayer is that everyone should recognize, accept, believe, and appropriate what Jesus Christ did for you. Receive it into your life. And that's where your salvation, your healing, your deliverance, and everything about you comes from. That's what it's all about. Oh, yes. Can you bow your head wherever you are? And I want us to pray this prayer very seriously. Already we are over. We are about 7,000 people in this service right now. And I tell you, God has spoken to you. And I know you will let this word of God dwell in you richly. And you might be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, everyone, please bow your head wherever you are in any part of the world joining us in this service. Close your eyes and ask the Lord Jesus Christ that you receive what he accomplished for you on Calvary Street over 2000. You receive it, you claim it, you appropriate it to your life, you accept it. As many as receive Christ, to them God gave power to become the sons of God. And when you appropriate it into your life, that is the answer. That is the answer to all your problems. That is the answer to every need and every problem. Yes, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no water. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only answer for the world today. Above him there's no water. Jesus is the way. Heavenly Father, have your way in the lives of your people. Let them be doers of your word that they have heard tonight. And let that word dwell in them richly. In the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, people, and minister to them, strengthen and uphold them with our right and our righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, God bless you, Mr. Mike Jenkins. God bless you all. Thank you for coming, for joining this service. I want to thank every one of you for being a part of this service. You know, reward you all abundantly. In the name of Jesus, please forward these messages to everyone you know. Email it to them, text it, tweet it out, share it. Let it go viral and bless the whole world. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, God reward you all upon that. Jesus' name. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no wall. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only answer for the world today. Above him there's no water. Jesus is the way. I found the answer. I found the friend. I found the Savior. To all my needs, Jesus is the answer. He's all I need. Jesus is the answer. He hears me when I pray. He's my only friend. He satisfies all my sins. Satisfies all my sins. He hears me when I pray. I found the answer. I found a friend. I found a Savior to all my needs. Jesus is the answer. He's all I need. Jesus is the answer. He hears me when I pray. He's my only friend.